the station of the nations, AM 1270, WHLD, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, New York, a Citadel Broadcasting communication station.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome to today's show. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? A lot is the answer to that question, and my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. We had a very informative program last week when my guests were Carl and Tina Feeblecorn, pharmacists from the UB School of Pharmacy. They helped emphasize these three important points about drugs in older adults. One, medications can help you live longer and healthier. Two, medications can make you miserable. And three, keep your pharmacist and doctor informed about all the medications you are taking, including prescription, over-the-counter, and herbal remedies. The best approach is to have your medication questions answered by a pharmacist or your primary care physician. If you need further direction, you can call Mr. Feeblecorn at his UB office, 645-2824, or contact the Pharmacists Association of Western New York at 564-0860, on the web at www.pawny.net, or by email pawny99@aol.com. Today's show is entitled The Politics of Aging. To discuss this topic and to answer your questions, I have in the studio today a very distinguished guest, former mayor of Buffalo and current Buffalo councilman, Mr. James Donald Griffin. In a few minutes, we'll start taking your calls at 855-6848. If you can't get through or don't want to talk on the air, you can mail your questions and requests for information to the station, WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, 14202, or email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. Drop me a line also if you would like free copies of a self-assessment booklet I put together that may help identify important problems you haven't yet discussed with your doctor. Additional information related to the topics discussed and the audios of all shows can be found on the web at whatshouldyouexpect.com. Welcome, Mr. Griffin.
Well, welcome, Rob Stahl, the doctor.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I have several questions that I hope we can cover in the next hour. Let's start with the first. Can you tell us what a typical day is like for a 75-year-old husband, grandfather, and community representative?
Well, first of all, when I get out of bed, I thank the good Lord, and I usually come out of bed around 6 or 6:30 every morning, sometimes a little earlier, but that's about my start of the day, and I start with about 12 minutes of exercises, some push-ups, some sit-ups, bending, and things like that. Then I always have a pretty good breakfast, and then we...
Now, what is that breakfast comprised of?
I should say like Wheaties, because my Uncle Jim retired from General Mills, and my brother Tom and I worked at General Mills, and then I worked on a Buffalo Creek pulling and spotting the cars over there. My brother-in-law worked at General Mills, but I like cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Cornflakes and bananas, or bananas and peaches, and then sometimes I'll have an egg with some sausage and maybe an egg with some ham, and maybe I'll have a little... pancakes and sausage, but I like to have a good breakfast.
Okay, after breakfast, the rest of your day.
After breakfast, then I'll probably go down to the office. I don't stay there all day, but I'll go down to the office and check the calls that I have to take. I always made it one of the things that I always prided myself on is that I return phone calls, no matter good or bad. And I used to tell my commissioners when I was mayor, you always return a phone call.
And that's what you did with me. I called you and asked you if you could be on the show. You said you couldn't right then and there, but you give me a call back. And
yeah,
sure enough, you sure did.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, you know. And then I'll go along around the district if someone, you know, we've got an awful lot of homes that need fixing, and we've got a lot of slumlords in South Buffalo, and we have to get them on the ball because it ruins the neighborhood. We got drug houses in South Buffalo. You know, you figure it's a safe area, and it is, but you still have some drug houses almost off Seneca Street or South Park Avenue or even Abbott Road. And I touch base with the chief. Pat Reichmuth is the chief out there in the South District. He does a great job. We touch base with the sheriff's department. And we have special police on Seneca Street now walking Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, which helps the neighborhood out a lot. We need more police on the streets, and I think the special police, we're trying to get them in a city charter. And hopefully we'll have the votes to get them back in a city charter. But, you know, I touch base with the commissioners. They've been very good to me, Commissioner G. Ambra, and Steve Stefniak in the streets department. He's been very helpful to me. So, you know, these are the things that you do. You know, you try and take care of your constituents. That's number one.
And when you're back home, after you've checked out your...
Before I get back home, sometimes I like to go for a beer someplace. Usually down at the Bison City Rod and Gun Club.
And that's your claim to fame,
yeah,
right? The famous quote from the Great Blizzard. And
yes.
What did you say? You think that may be somewhere printed?
That'll be on my tombstone, I think, Doc. Yeah, you know, everybody knows the... But sometimes they get a little mixed up. They say it was 1977, and I wasn't the mayor then. It was 1985.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
there you have the clarification.
Yeah.
And just for the record, Mr. Griffin today only wants a coffee or a nice glass of fresh water.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
That's for the record.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a typical day. Now, I understand that you and your brother were very attentive to your father. As he got older, had to go to a nursing home,
yeah,
and eventually, yeah, passed away.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about that experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a sad experience, as you know. Nursing homes are great, don't get me wrong, but it's tough to see the people there. My dad was at St. Andrews for a little over 5 years. But it was not only my brother and me, it was the entire family. My dad, my Uncle Jim, he passed away in 1989, but until he passed away, he was up there every day. I don't think I missed a day not seeing my dad when I was in town. If, you know, I was out of town or something, I wouldn't be there. But I was there every day, I believe, that I was in Buffalo. Tommy was there, my sister Donna was there, my brother Joe was there. So we made sure, because, you know, you see some people in nursing homes that don't get a visitor from one end of the year to the next. You probably know that more,
sure,
than I do.
Sure.
And you see some sad things in nursing homes. You know, it was always sad to see the people when they were lined up to go to lunch or breakfast. And, you know, you see more women in the nursing homes than you see men.
Right.
And that's because they're tougher than we are. You know,
absolutely.
My wife included. My wife Margie is a lot tougher than I am.
A little bit of genetics thrown in, but
you're right.
But they are tougher.
They are, you know, and they take pain a lot better than I do. I know that. But as I told you before the program started, my dad was my hero. You know, never made much money. He was a salesman for Beals, McCarthy and Rogers. Never drove a car, never owned a house, but boy, in fact, his nickname was Rocco. He was a hell of an athlete, and he didn't like the name Rocco, but that was tagged onto him when he was a young man. But, you know, he was always there for us. He coached us in baseball and basketball, and, you know, never, and my Uncle Jim never married. So they were as close as they could be, and my Uncle Jim used to help the family, too, you know. So they were my two heroes, so I think a good foundation.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. They taught you the basics of the important things in life.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I wish I could stack up to my dad. I never will. You know, that's a fact.
Wow.
My father, you know, he had more friends, you know. Tommy and I are 15 months apart, so we're the older of the family. My sister Donna's 5 years younger. My brother Joe is 15 years younger than me. So, you know, we'd be hanging around someplace and you get in any trouble, they, that's Rocco Griffin's kid. You know, and so, you know, you had that reputation of, right. you know, so he had a great reputation.
Yeah, well, that no one could ask for more. And and it sounds like you carried on the family tradition and, you know, caring for your father. You know, a lot of kids disappear or don't feel it's their part to care for their parents after they've cared for them and bringing them up. And you were there. I think that's the most important thing you did, was to be at that nursing home every day.
Oh, sure.
Loneliness is the biggest problem I see in facilities like that.
That's number one.
And if everyone has a visitor, that would make so much of a big difference.
You know, even before that, I know you have some of the these expectations for older adults. That's, I think, even as important as you get older. To be around people. I think that's maybe the start of Alzheimer's or whatever, your dementia, whatever it is. I think you have to be around people. You have to, you know, you have to exercise that brain. You know, you gotta keep active mentally. And I think that might have started my dad on that long road to Alzheimer's. You know, I know when my mom died, 72, April 26th, and after my mother died, you know, my dad, you know, he was there by himself at the house. My brother Tom was there once in a while, but he came to live with us for just a short time. You know, he didn't like it.
After a spouse, especially a wife, guys, men are often lost.
Right, he'd be looking out the our back window in the yard, and we wanted him there, but he didn't want to be there. He wanted his own surroundings, you know, and that's sort of a sad thing as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, why don't we go through some of these expectations that I put together and. You can read them, you can comment as you go through, and then we'll continue on from there.
Sure. You know, number one, you should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected. And sure, well, you don't have to be old to ask for that.
That's
Everybody
true.
Should be.
That's true.
Right? You know, you should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. And that's, you know, that's probably number one in my book. And you know, I don't care who they are in Congress or who the president will be. We've got to do something for the seniors as far as prescription drugs are concerned. You know, I'll go into, in fact, I was at a drugstore today for my wife, Margie. Got the script and went in. And, you know, we paid $5. Sometimes we pay $15 for a prescription. Where the person behind me might be paying $30, $40, $50. We have a great health plan. You know, anybody, a public employee in the state of New York who wraps the government, they should be ashamed of themselves, because we probably got the best pension plan and the best health plan in the country. You know, I'm amazed sometimes when they start squawking about how tough things are. They should go out in the world and see, like Bethlehem Steel, they lost all their health benefits.
Right.
They lost all their, some fellow that was there 40, 50 years, lost everything.
That's a tragedy.
You know, so that's number one, is the health care.
Well, and we also have the Epic plan.
Yes, right.
People can get discounts on medications that not enough people take advantage of it.
They don't even know about it.
That's right.
You know, and that's why, you know, some of the things that the my office is right in Tosh Commons, and the senior center is right next to us.
Oh.
So we're working on the STAR program, you know, that state program that gives
the tax relief.
We help them make out the application, and one of our staff will take it up City Hall, right to the assessor's office, so they won't have to come up to City Hall.
That's wonderful.
But, you know, we should have more of these programs, and like to tell the people about the health programs that they're there, because you're right, some don't even know about them.
Right. And the Attorney General just put up a website for a comparison of drug costs.
Yeah.
And I believe the website's WNYAGRX.org. Yeah. Western New York Attorney General RX.org is what it stands for. And it compares local pharmacies and where you can get the least expensive medications. So, you know, clearly that's one aspect of health care. And then just to combat ageism, when people look at an older person and they say things like, what do you expect at your age? And I tell the story of the 95-year-old lady that comes in my office complaining of pain in her right knee. And I ask her, what do you think's going on? She says, Doc, what do you expect at my age? I'm 95 years old. And I ask her how her left knee is. And she says, that's just fine. And I said, isn't your left knee the same age as your right knee?
Yeah.
You know, so if it was only because of age that she had pain in the right knee, then her left knee also should have pain, if age was the sole factor.
Yeah.
So it's a story that helps convey an important message.
Absolutely.
That, that people, older people get sick because they're sick, not just because they're old. So,
well,
that's something I work on every day, and I try to call my older patients and not old patients or other things that might not be too complimentary.
Well, tell this 94-year-old that you're talking to a 75-year-old got a pain in his right knee as well, okay?
So okay, we'll talk about that later.
We're on the same, wavelength.
And I've had pain in my knees and my back, and I'm 47. Okay, let's go on.
You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. And, of course, we just talked about how many people are. And that's
right.
A sad fact of life. And you say, you know, somebody asked me, they just forget about people when they figure they can't help them anymore, you know. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression.
Along the same line.
You know, you've got to be around people.
And
sometimes you have to go out.
Well, that's the thing.
Maybe I don't want to go here. Well, you force yourself to go.
And I had the Red Hat Society ladies on a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what they do. They go out and look for fun and friendship.
That's it, yeah.
And it works. It might be hard to get yourself out, but once you're there.
You
don't turn back.
Right. In fact, I tell you, when we were talking, I was married for 16 years, and sometimes it was getting a little frustrated, and I maybe feeling sorry for myself, you know. So I'd go out someplace, and I really wouldn't like to be there. So I was saying this to my wife, Margie. She said, "Look, you know, if you go out, you should go out to have a good time. Never mind." Having a chip on your shoulder, you'll go out there and enjoy yourself.
Right.
And believe me, you get that attitude and you can really have a good time for yourself. Never mind, you know, if you see someone that might not be likable as could be, well, you just sort of go on the other side and say hello to the next guy.
There's plenty of people in
There's
the world.
Plenty of people to have a good time with.
That's right.
Yeah. You should expect to be, live life as pain-free as possible. Well, we expect that, but unfortunately, that's not the case.
Well, and that's, people have to realize that there are a lot of things that could be done to help control pain, and then it's also convincing the doctors out there that pain, we call that the fifth vital sign, that it's that important, that asking a patient if they're in pain is as important, if not more important, than finding out what their blood pressure or pulse is.
Yeah.
Because if you're in pain, your life's going to be miserable every day.
Yeah.
If your blood pressure is high, more often than not, you don't even notice it. That's not to say you shouldn't watch your blood pressure, but you also shouldn't put up with pain.
That's right.
And there's lots of options.
Sure.
There's pain management clinics. There's doctors who specialize in pain assessment. So that's why that's there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. U.S. should expect never be the object of prejudice or abuse. It's, well, you know, that's not only the elderly, that's everybody.
That's true.
Right? You know,
that's true.
You know, you should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. Well, that's
And that's all the services and things that are out there that can help people.
Right.
If they seek them and make a phone call. Earlier shows, I had the Commissioner of Senior Services of Erie County, and we gave the phone number to call for that. And the Alzheimer's Association Program Director. Mm-hmm. So there are things out there, and you just have to tell yourself that I shouldn't have to put up with this. I can expect more and try and seek it.
Yeah. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom. Well, I don't know about my talents, knowledge, or wisdom. I'll leave that for somebody else.
You know, I think you're a living example of living up to your potential. Certainly, your career, you've done that. You've done more than most people do, probably, in terms of active involvement in the community, but also having hope for the future. You, you were mayor. You kind of laid low for a while, it seemed, and now you're looking to continue to contribute and do things and keep yourself stimulated.
Right. Now, if we could only get more people to run for office, that would be, that's what I would like to see. You know, you get some people that want to run for office, but they expect others to do what they should be doing. Mm. You know, everybody has that idea, well, I think I'll run for office. And I always encourage people, you know. In fact, one fellow came up, this goes back 40 years, one fellow came up to me and asked me, he wanted to run for office. And it was going to be a three-man race with him in a race. And I told him I didn't think he could win. That's the last time I ever told anybody they shouldn't run for office.
Right.
Because his whole family, they haven't talked to me now in 40 years. Because he probably to this day thought he could win.
Well, you don't know until you
know,
try.
So anybody who ever asked me to run for office, say, go ahead and run.
Okay. Well, what do you think about older people, retirees running for office?
That's the time to run. Well, I'm 75 years old. And I ran, I ran when I was 74.
Yeah. But how many do that?
Well, you know, whose fault is that?
Right.
You know, you got to get out there.
Exactly.
And I tell people when they ask me for my advice, I give it. And I tell them, do just the opposite of what I told you. And you'll be all set.
You'll be all set. Well, I want to play a short interview. I did not too long ago, related to how grandchildren view their grandparents.
Oh.
Okay.
We just had them for the last 2 days.
Well, I'll ask you about that after we play this interview, okay? So we'll roll that now, Jimmy, please.
I'm here with my daughter, Lauren, at the Original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband, and they see other people with their husband, and they get mad or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis. And she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff. But she still plays cards, and she does everything for me. I call her Bubby. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV. And I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there. Sometimes, if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there. And I go to the beauty shop with her. And it's fun.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas.
Well, that's my beautiful little daughter, Lauren.
How old?
She's 10 years old.
10? Great.
Yeah, and I'm taking her up to her power skating tonight in Canada.
Oh, great.
But I understand you have three young grandchildren.
Yep.
And what would they say about you?
Well, John Tomczak, my daughter Maureen married John Tomczak, and they have a son, John, a daughter, Grace Margaret, and a son, Joe. And it's funny you mention this because they stayed over last night, and we naturally always have a great time. Naturally, they have to run to the house, without a doubt. We got a small dog, a Shih Tzu, and what a beautiful dog. He is the friendliest dog in South Buffalo. You know, he runs after everybody.
I met your dog when I dropped something off.
Well, you know how friendly he is.
Yeah,
great,
that's
you know?
A wonderful dog.
But, the kids are they're into everything. They're into swimming. They're into Little League baseball. They're into soccer. They're into hockey. Grace is she's the lady. So if she wants to, she does it. Most of the time, she does it. She's gonna be she's a knockout as well. But the kids are they're well behaved. They have the discipline. Our daughter and our son-in-law are, you know, they know how to treat their children, and you know, nothing spoiled about them, and they're very outward. You know, they go in, and my dad used to say, like our, you know, when we were kids, you know, we were sort of forward too. He said, gee, when I was a kid, I'd be hiding behind my mother's skirt, you know, and you kids, you go out there and doing well. These kids are the same way, you know. They don't have no shyness about them, which is great.
Well, I wish I could capture on the radio the smile on your face right now talking about your grandchildren.
Oh, yeah, they're terrific.
Yeah. Let's listen to a poem now and a news flash, and I'd like you to comment about them and also talk about what you think in general about getting older.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks. No sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years, ooh, what a blast.
Well...
Oh, we had a few more seconds.
Yeah, let's
see. Oh, uh-huh.
Now the news flash.
Oh,
right.
Here, let me just go back a little bit.
Ooh, what a blast. Seniors are the nation's leading carriers of AIDS. Hearing aids, Band-Aids, Rolaids, walking aids, medical aids, government aids, and most of all, monetary aids to their kids.
What'd you think about those? It covers a lot of ground. Yeah,
right? Right, and it's, you know, a lot of it is true. You know, our police commissioner, Ralph Dagenhart, his wife is in the nursing home. She's a beautiful woman, June. And they did an awful lot for me, the both of them. And he was a hell of a commissioner, I'll tell you. He's the best. And we were talking the other day about getting old, and he said, you know, the golden age, he says, the only thing golden about the golden age is the color of your urine. that is true. Now you in brought, a lot of cases.
Now, you brought some things along with you, including, I think, some jokes from a church bulletin and a poem. So why don't you pick what you like and read some to
us. Okay, well, here's the one about seniors enlist. Dear Armed Forces, where do we sign up? We said if we could, we'd enlist today and help our country track down those responsible for killing thousands of innocent people in New York City and Washington, D.C. But we're all over 60 now, and the armed forces say, we're too old to track down terrorists. You can't be older than 35 to join the Army. They've got the whole things backward. Instead of sending 18-year-olds off to fight, they ought to take us old guys. You shouldn't be able to join until you're at least 35. It says, an 18-year-old doesn't like to get up before 10 a.m. Old guys get up early just to show we can and to steal the neighbor's newspaper and pee. If old guys are captured, we couldn't spill the beans because we'd probably forget what we put where we put them. In fact, name, rank, and serial number would be a real brain teaser. Boot camp would actually be easier to us old guys. We were used to getting screamed and yelled at, and we actually like soft food. We've also developed a deep appreciation for guns and rifles. We like them almost better than naps. The Army could lighten up on the obstacle course, however. I've been to the desert and didn't see a single 20-foot wall with the rope hanging over the side. I can hear the drill sergeant now. Get down and give me or one. And the running part is kind of a waste of energy. I've never seen anyone outrun a bullet. An 18-year-old has the whole world ahead of him. He's still learning to shave, to actually carry on a conversation, to wear pants without the top of the butt crack showing and the boxer shorts sticking out, to learn that a pierced tongue catches food particles and a 200-watt speaker in the backseat of a Honda Accord can rupture an eardrum. All great reasons to keep our sons at home and to learn a little more about life before sending them off to a possible death. Let us old guys track down those dirty, rotten cowards who attacked our hearts on September 11th. The last thing they want to see now is a couple of million old farts with attitudes. Can I bring my golf clubs?
That is great. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll continue after that.
Our romance won't end on a sorrowful note, though by tomorrow you're gone. The song is ended, but as the songwriter wrote, the melody lingers on. Now they may take you from me.
I will.
I'll miss you from caress. But though they take you from me, I'll still possess. The way she wears her hat. The way she sips her tea, the memory of all that. No, 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 they can't take that away from me. The way her smile just beams, the way she sings off key. The way she haunts my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on that bumpy road to love, but I'll always, always memory. The way she holds her knife, the way we dance to free.
I did too.
The way she changed our life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No,
Zach, that was terrific.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I heard that was your favorite song, I brought it here for you.
Thanks. Today. Yeah, I was telling you, my daughter had that played when she got married, and I danced with her to that one. And when I come home at night, when the kids were young, I'd put on the record, and Marge and I'd be dancing in the front room, you know, naturally a slow one, you know. And
right.
And the kids used to look at us and laugh, you know.
Made cringe yeah. and embarrassment, yeah. right? The usual kid
yeah,
thing.
Right, yeah.
But you loved it. You yep. had a grand time. Yeah. Now, let's get to some more difficult questions.
Well, okay? Sure.
And I'd like to ask a few questions about your return to politics and your thoughts about the future of Buffalo.
Okay.
First, in a recent letter to the Buffalo News, someone described you as, quote, the epitome of old leadership, end quote. This statement implies that old is somehow bad or outdated. My professional goal as a geriatrician is to teach people that old can also be active, useful, happy, and something to be valued. Assuming that your style is old leadership, what positives does that bring with it? And where do older people stand in politics overall?
Well, you know, old, I don't know. What I like to be a hands-on guy. And I think anybody who worked for me realizes that, as I mentioned about returning phone calls. And I don't know if Mayor Mazzeo ever did it, but we started out in 1978, in January 1st, we'd have a meeting with all our commissioners and directors once a week. We'd all get around the table,
right.
start off with me, and then we'd go around and say, oh, like, Doctor, how'd your week go? What do you need? How can any one of these other commissioners help you? We'd go right around the table,
right.
and everybody, I think most of the guys and women in my organization got along. There were some that didn't, but that happens all the time. And we made mistakes like everybody else. But, you know, at least I thought that we had a good working relationship. We had a good working relationship with the business community when I was there. In fact, the first meeting I had when I was mayor was with the bankers. Hmm. And the bankers did not want to see me mayor. First of all, my record down in Albany, I was a state senator for 11 years, and all the 1,000 banking bills that crossed my desk in about 11 years, if I voted for 5 of them, they'd walk right by my door to the lobby. It's like, don't even bother with this guy.
I wonder why. The bankers didn't want you in City Hall, right.
right? But the first meeting I had, it was contentious because, you know, you look at the... Every politician does. If they don't, you know, they're lying. Who contributes to your campaigns? And they could take a look at 1977. I didn't have a banker contribute to my campaign for good reason. So we had sort of everybody had a chip on their shoulder, but we started talking. And I made the statement. I said, well, what do you guys care about Buffalo? Most of you guys live in the suburbs. And Claude Schuchter from the M&T Bank, he get up, he says, hey, listen, you. He says, I live 4 blocks from City Hall. Hmm. He says, and I love Buffalo as much as you do. Now, how are we going to work together? Because of that meeting, the federal government gave us $4 million for the Hilton Hotel.
Hmm.
But the key was the bankers. They loaned Clem Chen, the developer, $10 million to build that hotel.
Wow.
That's how it started. Charlie Debo from Western Savings Bank, they were the lead bank. But all those bankers except one chipped in the $10 million. We were getting, here's something people don't realize. We loaned the $4 million federal money to Clem Chen at 3% interest. For 12 years, we're getting $20,000 a month from Clem Chen to pay off that loan.
Hmm.
And that started all our development. And that one of the big reasons was that meeting that we had with the bankers, because every development after that, if we didn't ask each of them to come in on
right.
the program, they'd be put out. They'd say, hey, why didn't you get called?
So now 25 years, 27 years have passed since that time. And what differences do you see? What is defined as new leadership, and how do you meld what you did back then and with what you want to do now?
Well, you know, you have to get the business community working with you, and I don't see that today, really. You know, you see a lot of talk, and you have to have leadership. You know, I made, as again, I made probably a barrel of mistakes, but at least I made a decision. You know, you got the Peace Bridge. You know, I don't know when that's going to get started. You know, it goes back and forth and back and forth. It's been going back and forth now probably 10 years now.
So old leadership, one aspect is not being afraid to make a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta make a decision. It's just like the Army. You know, you got to make a decision.
Right.
You know, even if it's wrong, they tell you, you make a decision.
Right. Or well,
you, because you can.
In the Army, it's life or death. And even in a city, potentially you can think of it as life or death of a city as well.
Sure. The other day, I think it was a TV or radio broadcast, I heard that the state in the last 2 or 3 years has increased employment by 79,000 jobs. In Buffalo, Niagara District, we lost 2,600 jobs. You know, gee whiz, you know, you got to get out there and, you know, we loaned money to 532 firms when I was mayor. You know, from a $2,000 to someone at the Broadway market, to $4 or $5 million. In fact, they talk about Joya running for office or mayor, that we loaned Joya macaroni, I don't know, $2 or $3 million so they could get new equipment for their spaghetti place over there on Elmwood Avenue.
Mm.
And then when they got bought out by Borden and Company, they came through paid us the loan back in a lump sum of money. We took that money and paid off the money the M&T for our parking lots for Pilot Field. But, you know, you got leadership in politics, but then you got leadership in business, and one is just as important as the other.
Now, I've heard recently that Buffalo can be more senior-friendly than it currently is.
You bet it can, yep. Well, look, they're raising our water rates 30%.
Well, and even has the potential to market itself as the most senior-friendly city in America.
Yeah.
What do you think about that as something that could make Buffalo shine in the eyes of the country?
Well, sure. Well, you know, they wanted to get rid of our senior citizen program in the city of Buffalo. You know, it's been safe for at least another year. But, you know, here's a senior program. People who make some of these decisions, I asked one of the fellows, does he ever go to a senior center? He said he never been there. I said, why don't you go and see what happens in these seniors?
Well, what was the rationale behind getting rid of it?
Well, they figured that some community organization would take them over. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But, you know, it's peanuts because our senior center in Tosh Collins, it has one civil service employee, a senior citizen supervisor, probably making $30,000 a year.
Right.
All the rest of the employees are these people like on a state program that make $5 an hour, minimum wage, you know, and that's what runs the program.
Right.
So throughout the city, you might have 7 or 8 senior centers, so you got 7 or 8 senior supervisors. It's a drop in a bucket. And for all the good that they do, it's not only, you know, it's just getting back to this loneliness. We have some people that come in here, if they open the doors at 9 o'clock, you'll see 5 or 10 people in there right at 9:15, and they'll stay to 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's their life.
That's their life.
Their only place.
You know, their only place to go. You know, you get out there in the Broadway Market area, you see senior citizens staying in, especially in the wintertime, staying in the Broadway Market most of the day because they don't want to use the heat up at the home, at their house.
So who in the city structure coordinates services for seniors?
Well, we have a senior citizen director who's going to get laid off in about another 6 months.
Hmm.
And then we're going to have a meeting Wednesday morning on what's going to happen to Tosh Collins Center and how the county now has taken over the Parks and Recreation Department. And of course, I voted against it, by the way, because I didn't think it was a great deal. They were supposed to transfer 81 jobs from the city to the county. Well, they ended up transferring 50, well, they said 61, but two people retired, including my sister Donna. So instead of 61, they had 81. they transferred 59 over to the county. It cost us $1,800,000, and are going to take all our fees, including the golf fees, which is about another $700,000, and the city pays all the utilities. And I don't think that's a good deal for the city of Buffalo.
So you don't think it fiscally it didn't work out equitably, the deal ended up happening?
Not in my mind. Okay. Not in my mind.
Well, in your district, what is the percentage of senior citizens? I don't know if you know specifically the data, but in Erie County overall, there's 16% of the population 65 and over, and that compares to 12% nationally. So we're an older community and getting older all the time.
And then the median income compared from the city to the county. Now, our median income probably for a person, say, over 65, is, say, I would say maybe 22,000, 23,000. We're in the county, it's probably 35,000. You know, so we have the poor senior citizen living in the city of Buffalo. In fact, you go on that east side of Buffalo, and I feel sorry for the people. They can't move, and they can't sell their home. And it's a dangerous area as well.
So what can be done? What would the top three action items to tackle that problem? Let's just focus on your district.
Number one, safety. Get more policemen on the street. We have, as I mentioned, we have special police out there on Seneca Street. We'd like to get them on the other streets. But you need a better police protection. You need the housing inspection to go around and making sure that people keep their homes in the best condition. We have an awful lot of slumlords in the city of Buffalo.
Right.
In fact, we have people, as far as Utah, buying houses in the city of Buffalo. They must buy them off the internet or something. And then leave them. In fact, a woman came in to me the other day. She had a list of 10 homes, five off the Seneca Street area and five down the old First Ward where I came from. And we looked up where the guy was. Northeast 72nd Street, Miami, Florida.
Hmm.
Now, what does he care about fixing up a broken window or something?
Right.
But we got to get those building inspectors out there, and we have to get the courts, not just to slap their wrist, but to make sure that they do a good job and get those houses in the best condition possible. You know, we talk about senior center, but we got a garbage tax in Buffalo. The people who pay most of the garbage tax is the one and two family homeowner, and most of them are seniors. They pay almost 80% of the garbage tax in the city of Buffalo. It was supposed to be for the exempt property owners, and they probably pay, if they pay 5% of the tax, they pay a lot. So it's getting right back to the seniors and the one and two family homeowners.
And is this taking advantage of the STAR exemption, the tax exemption?
Well,
would that play into this?
Well, that would play into it, but that's what they tell. Well, they get the STAR exemption. Well, gee whiz, thank God they get something.
Right.
You know. But let's get to some of that exempt property that are getting away with murder, in my opinion.
Well, who would do this? Would it be the Erie County Senior Services working together with you?
That would be the city of Buffalo. That would be the assessors and the building inspectors and, the people in this administration. You know, I don't worry about the county.
Okay.
You know,
I'm just trying to brainstorm ways that we can address the needs of the seniors.
Absolutely. Well, that would be great. But,
you could get adult protective services potentially involved if there really are unsafe living conditions.
Absolutely. And we've been, we just called the SPCA the other day for a home on Elmo Place. I went to a meeting with the chief of the South District, and for a small street, there are four or five homes. They're terrible. You know, that's unacceptable. And we got to make sure that our housing stock is in good shape. You see some of the houses that are on fire for an arson fire over there on the east side, they're abandoned.
So we have safety, general safety, we have housing. And what else?
And then, make sure that the people have enough to eat. That's number one. There's a lot of seniors out there that have that. The only good meal of the day that they have is right at the senior center.
Right.
Because of their income.
Well, good nutrition.
Sure, certainly. Good nutrition.
And you mentioned medication costs.
Right, absolutely.
A key issue.
Yes.
I want to remind people also that we can take calls. If anyone is interested in speaking with former Mayor Griffin, the phone number here is 855-6848. We've been having a great... We do have a call. Well, let's take that call then.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Dr. Stahl?
Yes.
Well, hello, Dr. Stahl. My name is Alice Coles, and you saw my husband, Jim Coles.
Yes.
May you remember him.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Well, listen, we're down in Florida.
Yes.
And I got your newspaper article. It was sent to me.
Well, we're here with former Mayor Griffin, Jimmy Griffin, today.
Well, is that right if I... Hello, Mayor Griffin.
Hiya, how are you, Ms. Coles?
Good. I remember your voice and your pictures of the newspaper and hearing you talk, too.
So how is Jim?
Not well. I mean, the disease has progressed. Right. And
this is Parkinson's disease we're talking about, correct?
PSP.
Yeah, PSP, similar to Parkinson's.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, and I canceled the last neurologist appointment. He is in a nursing home at this point.
Okay.
And I canceled the last neurologist appointment because I just didn't get help to get him there at that time. But I'm wondering if I should make another appointment. For one thing, he's not walking without assistance at all, and there's just one good, strong aid that will walk him. You know, he shuffles.
Right. What medications is he taking right now?
He's still on the Sinemet.
Right.
The Celexa. And for the bladder.
Okay, something.
They're about the same, you know, that he was on when you saw him, we left Buffalo.
Okay.
You know.
I certainly would recommend that you follow up and try to get the expertise of a neurologist.
I'm just wondering, what more can they do?
Well, it depends. Sometimes being on too high a dose of medications can cause problems. Too small of a dose, there might be other approaches to his problems, other medications perhaps that could be tried. There might also be some physical therapy approaches that might help him be a little bit more functional.
The other thing that's changed, too, is his hands. It seems like he's not using his thumb in opposition. He's pawing when he reaches for things.
Right. Yeah, I would see the neurologist. Is this a community neurologist or?
He's downtown Orlando.
Okay.
They don't come to nursing homes, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's different down here.
Yeah. No, I know that. It's hard to get specialists in general to come to a nursing home.
Right.
But you might also seek out a specialty center for diseases like PSP, Parkinson's disease, and get the advice of someone who is an even higher level expert, if you will. Those would be the people that
the
would...
The neurologist that we went to here in Florida that was we were referred to said he's had 6 or 7 cases.
Right.
And he was in charge of a Parkinson's clinic.
Okay, well...
Now, the other thing is he's lost 30 pounds about 7 months.
Well, that's an important factor, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because losing the weight certainly isn't going to help how well he's able to move and stay strong and active in light of the disease. So I think any effort that can be made to get his weight back up, whether it's having high protein, high calorie milkshakes, to assess his swallowing, if that's a problem.
They are pureeing the meat now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he does get what they call a healthy, quote-unquote, milkshake 3 times a day, which, you know, I guess they do that instead of Ensure.
Right. And I would even say that, if Jim likes ice cream or Krispy Kreme donuts, if they have them down there, that you don't necessarily have to stay with what the nursing home has to offer. And often outside foods, I had a patient that loved his Kentucky Fried Chicken every day, 95-year-old guy. I had a lady that was dying from colon cancer that a Krispy Kreme donut did wonders for her in her final days. So,
How about a Manhattan?
I think if that's going to bring a smile to his face and give him What do you have to say about that, Mr. Griffin?
I know Jimmy would be a six-pack.
That's the best approach,
well,
right?
Anything I get my hands on.
I remember a six-pack would do for Mayor Griffin.
Yeah, I think certainly, anything that's going to make him enjoy even a moment that could bring a smile to his face, if it's in Manhattan, I would give that to my patients. I wouldn't be too concerned about the effects it might have with medications. Certainly with the medications that he's on, the Sinemet, you do have to watch out for, dizziness and that kind of thing, which could be made worse by Manhattan. But in
we
moderation,
we don't walk him after that, all right?
Right. Now, that sounds prudent, but... I would say go for that, and talk to Jim about it, and you're knowing what his likes have been in the past.
I just wish there was something we could do to make him happy. His voice is very soft. Sometimes it's inaudible.
Right.
We went through the hurricane down here. We were, it came right up through Orlando, Oviedo, where we are. They didn't have air conditioning for 4 days, he seemed very weak, and he slumped over to one side in the chair and so on, but he has perked up, and he even talked sort of out loud.
Yeah, he might have gotten behind on his fluids, certainly, if it was hot and no air conditioning.
Okay.
And so you have to keep up with his fluids as best as possible.
Yes.
But, I would try those things.
Get back to a neurologist.
Get back to the neurologist.
Bring food in.
Bring food in.
And a Manhattan.
That's right. And a six-pack. Tell him that it was sent by Mr. Jimmy Griffin from Buffalo. And I think that might help a little bit.
If you don't have any call waiting, how does Mayor Griffin feel about merging Erie County and the city of Buffalo?
I don't want to see that, nohow. Buffalo is Buffalo, and I think we can solve our own problems here if we just get the right combination.
I see.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm from North Tonawanda.
Oh,
okay.
I think they got the problems there now, too.
We all have problems. You have to make some tough choices, and first of all, we have to get some industry back here in Buffalo and get some jobs back to the city, that's for sure. And we get started, make the streets safer, as I mentioned in the broadcast, and get the housing stock up a bit, and we can do all right.
Well, Alice, it was great hearing from you.
Well, it was good to hear, and I've been going to email you, I will. I'll let you know how Jim is doing
as time goes by.
Please
do, and tell him I said hi. And,
I will, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I hope some of those things help.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, I think that's about all the time we have. Ron Dombrowski's raring to go with his Drive Time Polka.
Great.
Thanks so much
to my
wonderful guest, Jimmy Griffin. I feel like I've known you forever, and maybe we can work a little bit together to see some of these things happen.
Absolutely.
And improve.
I would like that.
Improve the fare of older adults. Yeah. Start in the South District, and we'll move on from there.
One of my friends is in the hospital. In fact, he had a serious heart attack. Paul Flanagan. In fact, he was just home yesterday for a 4-hour visit. He's getting frustrated being there, and they're taking good care of him up to ECMC, but he'd like to be home. And Ron Anthony just got a broken arm, and he's another good buddy of mine. And, of course, George and Mary Charlie, he used to be the head of the Kleinhens here in Buffalo, and his wife has been sick. And I mentioned Commissioner Dagenhart's wife, June, and, of course, Steve and Joyce Maganka, they're friends of mine, and Steve has had a couple problems as well, but we're all in amend.
Well, maybe we can talk about it. If I can help in any way, I'd be happy to. I want to say next week I have some more very special guests. They will be my parents.
Well, great.
Mr. and Mrs. Albert and Dara Stahl. They're currently on the road driving up from Florida, making the northern swing to visit my brother in Ohio, me and my family in Buffalo, and then on to New York City to visit friends before going back. So They'll be my guests next week, and I thank you so much, and I hope we can work together and do some things for the older people in your district.
Doctor, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. Really appreciate it.
This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that is a lot, and I'll see you next week.
Could ask for more. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear.
You're listening to the station of the nation, Sound of the Falls, AM 1270, WHLD, a Citadel Broadcasting Communications Station. It's time to switch it up to Ron Dombrowski, Ronnie D, and Drive Time Polkas next on AM 1270.